Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. You trust the lead to keep you up to date on important state news, and we've been doing that more often as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on November 2nd, 2020, from a car, a BMW specifically, traveling down Interstate 26 from the majestic upstate to the beautiful Midlands. With Mick Kennard. Riding shotgun with Mick Kennard, folks. And also, just so you know, some of the information in this podcast may have changed by the time you've heard it, i.e. Election Day, folks. Happy Election Day if you're listening on Tuesday. It's here. We'll have more for you later this week about what happened on it. But before that, let's tell you about what's going on in this podcast, which cuts through the noise and gives you South Carolina-specific COVID-19 news and stories. This episode features a look at the final push by Senator Lindsey Graham and Democratic challenger Jamie Harrison. We have the latest on absentee voting, how one woman with agoraphobia has been handling the pandemic, and we also get the latest on the economy in South Carolina and how it's changing. Additionally, we want to hear your stories, so we set up a voicemail box to hear from y'all about your daily life in these uncertain times. Leave us a 1 to 3 minute long voicemail at 803-563-7169. Leave us your name, where you're calling from, and what's going on in your world. Hey, maybe you're driving too. Give us a call. We can all be in the car together. 803-563-7169. Now for the latest in South Carolina. Currently, the spread of COVID-19 is ongoing, widespread, and not contained, according to Department of Health and Environmental Control data. There have been 3,697 confirmed deaths. And currently there are 170,048 cases being reported in all 46 counties as of November 2nd at 4 p.m. Our percent positive rate is currently 11.8%. So far, 749 people are hospitalized with COVID-19, and 204 are in intensive care. 88 are on ventilators. The Senate candidates made their final push across the state this weekend and Monday, with dueling bus tours to rally their faithful, which means I was on the road, and I'm actually still on the road, right now, with Meg Kennard, covering all the rallies. On Saturday, Governor Henry McMaster was on hand with Senator Lindsey Graham outside of the Horry County Republican Party headquarters in Conway, where more than 200 people turned out. McMaster issued a dire warning of what's at stake on Election Day.
Now they have seen, Donald Trump has stepped on every liberal toe, every left wing. He's stomping them. And they are gearing up to do all it takes, whether it's legal or illegal, to win or steal this election. We cannot let it happen. And our job here is to turn out for Donald Trump, and our job here is to turn out for our Republican candidates. And the reason we are here today is to be sure everybody knows we are turning out for Lindsey Graham. We have never had a finer senator than Lindsey Graham. Lindsey, it's all yours.
Senator Graham was energized on the campaign trail. Fresh off the Friday debate, he hit the PD, Grand Strand, and Lowcountry Saturday, where his humor was on display. He joked about coming from humble beginnings, growing up in the back of his parents' liquor store, to now having a bus with his face on it. In Conway and at other stops, Graham launched into his stump speech, railing against the out-of-state money that came into the race, which he expects will push his opponent Jamie Harrison past a whopping $140 million. Graham reminded voters of how he went from a critic to supporter of President Trump and the judges he's helped get on the court, including now Justice Amy Coney Barrett. Graham urged folks to vote or say goodbye to the country as they know it, especially if the Democrats keep the House, pick up the Senate, and the White House.
My goal is on Wednesday to have a lot of depressed people in California. Then in California and New York, they say, what happened? Where did all our money go? Somebody asked me, what would it take to turn South Carolina to a socialist nation? I said, we don't go that high. This money's coming in for one reason, me. It ain't got nothing to do with him, Henry. It's all about me. They hate my guts. Why? Because I stood in their way. I've tried to find a better way. I don't mind working with the other side when it makes sense, because we have to as a nation. But I'm not going to sit on the sidelines and watch our people get smeared and destroyed without speaking up. So my opponent said the main reason he ran is because of the way I behaved in Kavanaugh. Well, the main reason I'm going to win is because of the way I behaved in Kavanaugh.
On Monday in Rock Hill, however, Graham added to his speech that love will win over hate, a tone more akin to what we hear from Democrat Jamie Harrison.
We're going to win this race based on what we love, not what we hate. Right? Love conquers hate. You're voting for me because I've tried to represent you in a way that you can relate to.
Harrison held several events in the upstate on Saturday and the Lowcountry on Sunday, including a stop in the small town of Hollywood, where I caught up with him and House Majority Whip Jim Clyburn, who introduced Harrison to the crowd.
And senators stay for as long as they acquit themselves to the lacking of the American people. And we have a United States Senator today who has lost his way. When he first got elected, many of us supported him. We may not have voted for him, but we supported him because we thought he knew how to put the interests of the country ahead of the philosophies of his party. But he has lost his way.
Harrison reminded the crowd that what makes America great isn't just one person, but that even if you start 10 miles behind the starting line, you can still win the race. Something he has experienced growing up in poverty and making his way to Yale before becoming a congressional aide for Clyburn, running the state Democratic Party, lobbying, and now working as an associate chairman with the DNC. He spoke, as he often does, about his opponent, Senator Graham, as someone he once had respect for, but who is now someone who has become more interested in helping himself than others.
25 years. And in that 25 years, too many people across the state lack opportunity and hope. In those 25 years, too many people here in South Carolina live in communities that don't have broadband. In that 25 years, too many of us have hospitals that have closed. In that 25 years, too many of us are on unemployment. Not because we aren't looking for a job, because the opportunities aren't there for us to get one.
Harrison closed his speech with a message of transformation that he believes his candidacy brings.
But I want to thank you, because what we are doing here, my friends, you're not voting for a senator for you. Mm-hmm. You're voting for a senator for them.
All right. That's right.
Because what we are going to do, my friends, we are going to close the book on the old South, and like a phoenix, South Carolina will rise, and we will rise into a new South. A new South that is bold, a new South that is inclusive, a new South that is diverse, a new South where all of our voices and our lives are appreciated and valued. And that the future for these little kids is a bright one.
Moving on, the Department of Justice announced on Monday that personnel from its Civil Rights Division will monitor 44 jurisdictions in 18 states on Election Day, including in Richland County, to ensure compliance with the federal voting rights laws like it has before. However, Richland County Democratic Senators Dick Harpulian and Daryl Jackson issued a statement saying, quote, "This is a blatant and despicable effort by Donald Trump and Bill Barr to use federal power to intimidate black and minority voters," quote. And finally, as of noon on the day before Election Day, we saw 1.27 million absentee ballots cast. That is 60% of all the ballots cast in the 2016 presidential election. In-person absentee voting ended Monday, but folks can still turn their absentee ballots until 7 p.m. on election night. Scott Morgan of South Carolina Public Radio has this brief report on turnout.
Data released this week by the State Election Commission shows that voter turnout in most upstate counties thus far is about 35% what it was in 2016 overall. By comparison, the Midlands, PD, and Lowcountry regions have seen between 40 and 50% of their final 2016 numbers so far. The lowest early turnout in the state is in Lawrence County, which is at 30% of its 2016 numbers. However, Spartanburg County is, alongside Charleston, seeing the state's highest percentage of early turnout compared to 4 years ago, at just shy of 70%. McCormick County is the upstate's only other outlier, where totals so far have topped 60% of 2016's final tally.
Okay, so county election officials began opening the exterior return envelopes of mail-in ballots Sunday morning. At 7 a.m. on Election Day, the interior ballot secrecy envelopes will be opened and ballots will begin being processed. The State Elections Commission said that due to the high volume of ballots, some counties will likely not be finished with this process on election night. Just a reminder, the legislature set the rules for this process. We have a quick business section with Mike Switzer of the South Carolina Business Review, who spoke with Alan Cooper, founder and editor of three online business news websites in South Carolina, Midlands Biz, Upstate Biz SC, and Lowcountry Biz SC.
Alan, welcome back to the program.
Mike, thanks for having me.
So tell us what's happening in your world today.
One of the things that I've missed a lot through this pandemic has been the absence of live concert venues. Love to go out to a restaurant and follow it up with going and seeing a live concert. So it's been heartening to hear of some of these arts organizations that are finding ways to have live in-person concerts again. They're combining it with virtual and live, but hopefully over the next several months, we'll be able to get out and see some more live music.
These cultural activities, of course, are a big part of what businesses call quality of life and why they like to locate in particular areas. But of course, I'm sure everybody totally understands this current situation.
Yes. Yeah, I've always felt like the arts are just such an important driver for city to attract talent, retain talent. I was speaking to the people at Charleston Jazz Orchestra, and over the next several months, they're doing concerts with an option of virtual and in person at the Firefly Distillery. They're having socially distanced, safe gatherings, and the orchestra will be performing. I'm talking to people at Harbison Theater here in Columbia, also the South Carolina Philharmonic. They are looking at having in-person concerts over the next several months and through and into the spring. So that's at least the plans. I know it's been a real challenge for them.
I've been seeing some of this too, and I see where a lot of times the venue is trying to separate people into little coves to be able to do this.
Yes, I saw one where literally inside the theater, rows that were roped off to separate people. It would be difficult economics to bring in a concert that was going to cost a certain price and to only be able to fill up one third of the venue. So I've heard that a lot of concerts are saying, hey, listen, can you play two times? There's a movement really to get the band to play at 3 o'clock and also at 7 o'clock to allow more people to get into the venue and see the live music. So they want to open up, want to get back to live music and just still having to be creative in their approach.
And be safe. Well, what else?
Yes.
What else are you seeing right now, Alan?
Well, I did see something that, you know, was a bit of a concern, is that statewide construction starts have decreased rather significantly, and obviously in the first half of 2020. Construction is just such a key driver for our economies and our cities across the state. But we do still see a lot of announcements. In downtown Columbia, there's $200 million of planned construction is going to take place. You know, there's an announcement in the upstate that the largest bank headquartered in South Carolina, which is Southern First Bank, is building a new 107,000 square foot headquarters in Greenville. And huge news, obviously, out of the Lowcountry in Charleston, with Boeing planning to consolidate 787 production in South Carolina, carries a lot of momentum and positivity for the South Carolina economy.
Well, Alan, we have just about a minute left. What else can you share with us today?
Late last week, there was an announcement that 5,600 acres in central South Carolina has been put up forward with a conservation easement. It's an amazing partnership between the conservation groups, Congaree Land Trust, the Conservation Fund, the Army National Guard. But this is putting 5,600 acres east of Fort Jackson into a conservation easement where the property owners maintain ownership of the property, but it's permanently protected for green space in central South Carolina. And I think those types of announcements are also very good for business, for attracting people and talent to the state. We were talking about that. Having a lot of green space and protected space is also very important.
Thanks, Mike, for that report. And you can find that and more on SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. We've spoken a lot about mental health on this show and how people are handling the pandemic differently. Scott Morgan with South Carolina Public Radio speaks with one woman about how a drop in social interaction is helping her agoraphobia.
It's up to you. I don't mind taking my computer outside as I take her out to use the bathroom.
You're listening to Kind of a Big Deal.
Let her out into potty and then I'll...
It might not sound like one.
All right, let's see if I can show you Hestia from here.
But it is, because Veronica Morris is outside.
Hello.
Morris is an agoraphobe. Her fear of being out of the house and among other people is severe enough to classify her as disabled. She also copes with PTSD from childhood and bipolar disorder.
And the one that affects me the most is the agoraphobia. But it's not just like, oh, I don't feel like leaving my house, or I'm kind of afraid of the virus, so I don't feel like going out. When I think about leaving my house, my heart starts to pound. I feel like I'm gonna die. I might start crying. Sometimes I can't leave the house. Sometimes I can't go into my yard, or I can't even get to my mailbox.
Morris is, nevertheless, a caretaker. She's a vocal advocate for service dogs, and you've already met Hestia, for whom nature called a moment ago. And she cares for her husband, Brad, who is severely physically disabled. His disabilities also make him extremely susceptible to infections and illnesses, which means that since March, Brad and Veronica Morris have been in exile. And she, in particular, is thriving because of it.
Pre-pandemic, I go out one day, and then I spend 1 to 2 days recovering from going out, and then I have to go out again, and then I spend another 1 or 2 days recovering, and I never get the time to actually do things around the house.
Recovery for Morris is like riding out a flu in bed. It's debilitation, not relaxation. But with early quarantines keeping everyone inside, suddenly the outside world didn't demand she enter it. She had nothing to recover from because there was almost nothing she had to leave the house for.
And I started noticing, oh, hey, I'm doing better. I'm able to do more stuff. And I was like, well, maybe I should start going on more walks with my service dog. Then I was like, well, hey, I'm feeling really good. Why don't I start cooking again?
On her blog, Morris, actually Dr. Morris, PhD, talks a lot about service dogs and posts a lot of recipes. The service dog advocacy has been around for a long time, but the reignited interest in cooking is new. Morris used to cook all the time until about 15 years ago when a suicide attempt left her with some brain damage that aggravated her agoraphobia. She never suspected that a pandemic could be so healing.
I started realizing, hey, I'm able to go on walks, I'm able to read, I'm able to train my dog, I'm able to cook. Like, this is starting to work out pretty good for me.
She does want you to know that she's not happy about the coronavirus. She's just thriving in the new normal it's created.
I'm upset that people are dying. I'm upset that people are sick. I'm stressed about it a little bit. But overall, my mental health is much better now that I don't have to leave the house all the time and that everyone has the same thing as I do. So I feel like the pandemic has leveled the playing field. Everyone is afraid to leave the house now.
Another unexpected benefit of widespread introversion is that Morris is kind of a group leader now.
A few times some friends have wanted to get together in friend groups and sit outside. And actually, I found that I'm the first one to speak up and say, I really don't think that's safe. But then after I speak up, usually a few other people speak up too.
Morris got her first psychiatric service dog in 2005. Having one taught her to stand up for herself in person whenever she had to remind a store clerk or a restaurateur that they had to let the dog inside with her. But she could never get past the need to say yes to friends who texted or emailed asking to hang out.
Before the pandemic, if someone said, will you come meet me for coffee, I wouldn't feel like it was an option for me to say no.
Now that we've entered a world full of virtual get-togethers, she's developing the confidence to say no without worrying that she's offending anyone.
Once this is all over, I'm just going to have to be really good at saying no and setting boundaries.
Which is as big a step for her as taking little Hestia outside.
Thanks again, Scott, for double duty on the pod. Welcome to the wind down section, our little break from the news. We talk about life during the pandemic and want to hear your stories as well. Tell us how you're handling things, if you've had COVID-19, what your testing experiences have been like, maybe how your loved ones are doing if they're in a nursing home or if they're on the front lines. We want to know what's happening with you and your family during this difficult time. And you can let us know at 803-563-7169. Leave us a message with your name, where you're calling from, and a message no longer than 3 minutes. And AT, what's going on? What do we have? Do we have any voice messages?
We have a voicemail just under the 3 minute limit, so probably a professional calling.
Pushing it, yeah.
It is actually our old Grand Strand friend, who's now a Dubai dude. I don't know what you want to call
Dubai
him.
Dubai dude, yes.
Roman. So let's roll it. Old friends of the pod. Let's go.
Yeah.
Hey, AT and guys. This is Roman, Grand Strand man, calling from Dubai in the United Arab Emirates. It has been a long time. I've just been getting caught up on some back episodes, and I was feeling like I'm trying to drop the ball on sending you my message earlier on, but I thought you'd be interested to know about a couple of our experiences. We flew out of U.S. on July 31st. We drove to Dulles and then flew Emirates direct to Dubai. The plane was about a third full. All the flight attendants were in full PPE. Everybody had to wear a mask for the entire flight except while they were eating. And they had a special orderly who was there just to clean the toilets every 30 or 45 minutes. My wife and I are teachers here. We've been doing 50-50, which is half the kids on the Zoom and then half the kids in the room, and then switches every couple of days. And it feels like the first year teaching again. It's absolutely cuckoo, banana pants, bonkers. When I told my parents, it's sort of like FaceTiming with mom while driving stick shift down 17 in the middle of the summer. It just takes up so much extra energy to do both at once. But, you know, we're open and kids are learning it, so that's good. I tell my freshmen that they should expect to wear masks until they've graduated from high school. Certainly that seems to be the expectation around here, that it's going to be a mask world for a while. We voted online, and I am very, very excited to say that it is super possible to vote online from South Carolina. We went through fbap.gov. There was a two-part process. First, we had to confirm our registration and then register to vote online, and then we received an electronic ballot, and then we sent it through email. And it went to Dina Huggins in Horry County government. And I just want to give a shout out to Dina, who was helpful in getting our vote counted. And I think it's just really special that South Carolina allows us. I really wish that everybody had this access. And for anybody who says that it's not possible because of, you know, hacking or whatever, I would say I think it works already. It's been working for veterans, people who live abroad. Like, let's just give it to everybody. Let's let everybody do it from their smartphone so we can get 100% of the people who can vote to vote. Dina Huggins, thank you so much for your service. And AT and Gavin, thank you so much for keeping up the good fight. It is so nice to hear a little bit of home. Miss you guys. Bye.
Roman, so good to hear from you. Our Myrtle Beach man, Grand Strand man, now a Dubai dude. These are just exciting times to live in. And you did send us a nice report. We will definitely get that up when we have some time to listen to it and process things and get you on the pod. We love hearing your reports, and it's going to be pretty interesting to hear about how things are going in the Middle East.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling back in. I mean, I understand that you don't have time. I'm sure your world is completely upside down time-wise. So, I mean, our release schedule is probably not working for you. But I would also like to note that I think Fast and Furious 6 does go to Dubai, so you should go and sightsee. Sightsee where they filmed.
Oh my God. Sounds like a dream vacation for you right now.
The Lord of the Rings one is still, but a Fast and Furious extended universe trip would be more epic because they go to so many places. But Gavin, talking about traveling to so many places, you now live in a car.
Yeah,
luckily,
AT, it's not just a car. It's the ultimate driving machine. It's a BMW.
Oh, okay.
It's Matt Kennard's X Series. We're just We actually don't live in a car. We live on the interstate, per se. We are road people. We are road warriors, Mad Max, if you will. We have
Mad Max, Thunderdome.
We have
both
the fashion to go with it. We have hats you may have seen if you follow us on Instagram or on Twitter. We have a lot of fashion going on. I'm wearing my my high top sneakers for my Air Jordans, something I've never done on assignment before.
Brag.
Figure it's the last day of the trail. Well, let's just get crazy. Right, Meg?
She's chuckling. Why not? Why not? It's time. If not now, then when?
Meg, tell the people what you see right now.
I see interstate and lots of asphalt.
Oh, that sounds so beautiful.
It's so exciting and glamorous, wonderful. This life that we're leading.
This is what they tell us about, living this wonderful life. AT, we've traveled the highways and byways, and we've had some good road conditions and bad road conditions, and it's just exciting when you get on a really nicely paved road. It's just like
riveting.
It's something, you know, you don't get very often, obviously.
I mean, I'm glad you guys got your hats. I'm glad you're wearing Jordans, because I mean, the campaign trail, it is temporary, but the drip is eternal. So I'm glad you guys are dressed to the nines.
Yeah, it's been something, you know, easily 1,000 mile weeks, you know.
Yeah, you guys have a hectic schedule coming up, right? So rest of today, you've been crisscrossing the state, right, to cover, because our absolute ravenous heathen listeners, they demand it,
and as do our news consumers, our fellow South Carolinians and folks worldwide. They listen. They want to know. I mean, look at Roman. Meg covers for the AP. People want to know what's going on in the Senate race. We were talking to that Swiss reporter on Friday. They want to know what's going on in the Senate race. You know,
I'm pretty sure we're the only international state news podcast in the world.
Yes,
so, I
mean, that is correct. And our listeners joining us worldwide. Thank you.
This
weekend kicked off with the Friday night. You know, the Friday night debate. Just like boom, here we go. That was the drop, and then. That was obviously a lot of fun moderating with Jamie Lovegrove and Thalicia Eady. We got to see some interesting responses from both of them. You know, I think it was a good way to end things. If you were still undecided, if you are, we'd love to hear from you, because I don't really know many undecided voters at this stage. If you're waiting in line to make that decision. But then, you know, from Friday night up until this weekend, we've just been crisscrossing everywhere and checking things out and listening to them. A lot of the stump speeches are the same. You're just kind of listening for some slight deviations and just to kind of get a feel about how people are doing right now and how the momentum's shifting. And
real gotcha journalism.
Not much, yeah, because
gotcha
it's all pretty
journalism.
Much the same. A lot of media, a lot of people beating up on the media, but, you know, it's not anything we haven't heard before still.
Okay, my last question then to both of you, non-political, I'm not asking you to call winners for tomorrow, just your hottest, like, weird thing that's going to happen tomorrow. Give me a hot take tomorrow. Who's going to get outed on a Zoom? What bad thing is going to happen?
I mean, I thought you were going to say, like, what is the weirdest thing we've experienced on the campaign trail?
Is it going to be revealed that everyone is a slug from Mars that is trying to take over the government?
Well, I think we're going to figure out that this has all just been a dream. And
I love this.
Yeah, we're going to wake up. That's right.
This is a simulation, and they by accident turned it to hard.
Time. Yeah, so I think that's what's going to happen tomorrow. And frankly, I'm ready for it.
Meg is just delirious. she's sleep driving right now, folks. But yes, the simulation is coming to an end, so be prepared. You need more tokens to keep going, folks.
I love this, man.
Insert the tokens.
This is why I'm glad you're here today.
I mean, it's going to be something. We won't really know who wins this Senate race, I would say, until either very late Tuesday night or into Wednesday, like we keep saying, maybe later in the week. Who knows? But
bold prediction.
Safe to say that we'll know that, you know, President Donald Trump will be reelected by South Carolinians, I will say. I don't know what's going to happen in the rest of the country.
That's happening.
Safe to say that will be a solid for the president in South Carolina. But everything else, we're going to be watching and waiting, and we'll have live coverage on SCE TV from 7 to 8 with cut-ins up and through 10. And if we get some of those speeches, we'll definitely air those live as they come. And it'll be on SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org.
Always be closing, Gavin.
South Carolina Public Radio. We'll have live coverage there, too, with PBS NewsHour and all those reporters from Public Radio, NPR, just out there doing the Lord's work.
Close it out, kid.
We appreciate y'all coming on the trail with us. This last day on the campaign trail of 2020. We've been up and down and all over, you know, from the Democratic presidential primary up until the June primaries, up until Election Day Eve. Here we are, folks, 2020. And guess what? You know what happens on November 4th? I got a surprise for you. The campaign trail for 2024 begins, folks. So it's not going to stop. We never get off. It's always
we are trapped here.
We are in stasis. So thanks for listening to the pod, y'all. Show us your appreciation by leaving us a review or a voicemail. 803-563-7169. Operators are always standing by. And you can stay up with the latest news on SE. Meg, you can laugh if you want to laugh in the background. We don't even need a laugh track.
It just makes it real that much more funny.
Meg, slow down!
Wow!
No, we're going under the speed limit just for the pod.
That's also bad, just FYI.
Yeah. Also, don't forget to support your local newspapers and also consider becoming an ETV member. Membership starts at just $40, and if you pledge at the $75 level, you get access to PBS Passport and all the great programming your donation helps support. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson, live on Interstate 26. Be well, South Carolina.
You're not throwing out that Sphinx cup. It's your toilet.
He almost got Meg there. He just took a swig, and like she was like, "Would have been bad. Would not have been good."
That's going at the end, baby.
Oh God, Meg, no! Jesus, take the wheel.
Literally.